Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Let's be honest, you've been portrayed as a monster.
Yes.
Evil, maniacal.
What's it like to interview a killer? 48 Hours is taking you inside what we've learned about the criminal mind. This is Killer Conversation. You can follow and listen to Killer Conversation on Tuesdays in the 48 Hours podcast feed on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning, St. Louis DGS. I would say 104.1 FM KMOX, but we're actually just podcasting today. Podcasting! So everything's different. Means we can say anything we friggin' want to say. I didn't have to say friggin' just then, but I did, because I'm an institutionalized company man.
Yeah, toeing the line.
All my energy's been taken away.
What have they done to us?
It's like, I have given in.
What did they do to us?
The power of the empire.
For 60 seconds, I thought there were monsters on the world. I love podcasts. Podcasts are like going upstairs after Thanksgiving dinner and putting on sweatpants.
Yeah.
Right?
Pretty comfy.
Yeah, it's pretty comfy.
Yeah.
It's pretty cozy.
You can no get limits, used to bro. This. Let's go.
where to start? This is a weird place to start. But Anne Burrell, the celebrity chef with the big shock blonde hair,
yes,
passed away.
Rest in peace.
And today I was watching Channel 4, CBS, and they did the story on her, and it was a nicely done story. And of course I'm so intrigued by fame, and you know, who's the least biggest celebrity that they would break in on the national broadcast to say that they died kind of thing. You know, I'm always thinking that. And so they're like, Anne Burrell and Beloved and Personality Plus. And then they stop and they go, Heinz Ketchup is taking the dye out of their ketchup now. And I'm just like, wow.
Just like a little pause.
Yes, it was a 2-second pause between your life and Heinz Ketchup.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Most of us won't even get that mention,
no,
though.
No, you're right.
So
you're right.
I would rather be followed by ketchup than not mentioned.
Right.
And they've got a tough job, you know, making that transition. There's kind of no good way to do it.
Speaking of food, there's no. Yeah. Speaking of condiments.
Speaking of food, how about that ketchup?
I've been watching this show on NBC called Yes, Chef. Have you seen the commercials for this?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
With Martha Stewart, and I think his name is Jose Andres.
Yeah. Is the whole thing that they're difficult people?
Yes.
Okay.
The whole thing is like, I have depression, and that affects my cooking, or like, I have a bad temper. And then they like...
Do they know why they're there?
Yes.
Okay.
Because the people in their lives have done confessionals, like trash-talking them and exposing all their flaws. But it's really... frustrating because basically every episode they completely change the rules of the show, and they're clearly just like flying by the seat of their pants trying to keep the most entertaining people on the show instead of necessarily like the best chefs. It's just funny. Like, they'll be like, now you three go into a cook-off, and whoever wins that cooks off against another person, and then they pick who's going home. And it's like, what's going on?
Yeah, I said the poobahs of reality TV came out and said trauma. It's the key. It's the key to success, just trauma.
Mm. There's a lot of trauma in Yes, Chef.
Mm.
Highly recommended. Enjoying watching it. I like Martha Stewart.
I gave the guys an assignment. I said, let's do a special thing that we normally wouldn't do on the show for the podcast today. And by the way, we're doing this because the Cardinals are playing today. And barring a rainout, we're not going to be on. Oh, God, if there's a rainout, we're so screwed.
Because we have nothing.
If there's a rainout, we are not releasing this podcast.
No.
Yeah.
No, this
in
is
protest.
The show.
Or we're going to air this 4 times.
Actually, yes.
Back to
today.
Back to back.
Yeah, I think it's going to be interesting.
Yeah, let's come back from the break. He'll be like, Anne Burrell died.
And then they talked about the ketchup. Can you believe it?
Like these losers. No, I asked the guys to come up with questions for each other. So I have different questions for each of you, and hopefully each of you have different questions for each of us. So let's do that.
Yes, I did not understand.
I also did not understand.
It's okay. Oh, for the love of God. Wheeler, I didn't think he'd understand it, but at least he said, like, hey, which one is it? And I told him.
Yeah.
Now he's got it.
Well, he should have put that in the group
text. How is Wheeler the most prepared?
But I do have three different questions, so I'll just pretend that I did it right.
That's fine.
I'm going to go last.
What did you think? I'm going to write my questions.
I thought it was just have a question ready that all three of you would
answer. Yeah, like a conversation starter type deal.
Yeah.
Jeez. Okay, I'll go first.
Okay, yeah.
You go. Please.
I've done my homework,
way,
damn it.
And I'm going to let Rach go last on my questions, because she's clearly trying to come up with her show prep.
I'm like, Kevin, what is your favorite color?
I'm looking at these questions like I have a bunch of random stuff for Christmas. I'm like, this would be perfect
Rach,
for Rachel.
You should just pull out, what was the thing that you made? The little...
The cootie catcher.
Yeah.
Okay.
You're gonna live in a mansion.
I will start with Kevin.
Okay.
I wanted to ask how joining the DGS had changed you, but then I forgot that you're unchangeable. So I would just say, how has joining the DGS affected you? Professionally and personally.
So professionally, like, I still put in like the same amount of time, but I do different things, right? For most of radio time, it was all sports. And most of it, until it was me and Ronj and Amy before I came on with you guys, was just me. Like solo shows, which was weird. So the cool part, there wasn't anything that I felt like, oh man, this is hard. But there were a couple things that I'm still bad at that I realized I didn't build the good habits for it, which is like learning to shut up.
right?
Like that was hard. I mean, like I would sit down with the boss, especially in the beginning, and be like, sometimes we just have to stop talking. And I didn't have that. Right. I didn't have that in my nature, because my job before was you got to fill the air.
Yeah. You don't stop.
And when there's space, you go.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a big, to me, that was a real, like, that's just the radio side, right?
Yeah,
just the radio side. But what's really cool is getting to be able to just hang with people, right? Like when you're doing it, solo shows, you'll have guests and you talk to other people. And I have had like occasional co-hosts where we would do a little bit here and there together. But the fun part is how well you just become a team. Because that's always been my mentality,
yeah,
right?
I agree.
Growing up in sports, you get to know your teammates and you get to learn their habits. But then it just feels like right. Like when you're playing a game or when you're at practice and you're messing with each other, you build off of each other. You might occasionally fight, you know, like I've had plenty of clashes with teammates over my life. But that brings me back to what I love about playing sports. So, like, you guys are my team now.
Yeah, I agree.
And I think that's awesome.
I agree.
It's a cool thing. I know maybe it's because it's what I was always used to.
Yeah.
Like, and a team, like, when we say, like, a whole radio station is a team, that's true, but it's different.
Yeah.
Because you're not with everybody like you are, like, when you're on a football team, you're on a baseball team, basketball team. It doesn't matter what team it is. It could be a tennis team where you're all individuals, but you're together all the time and practicing all the time. It's that proximity together.
Yeah, I agree.
And you hear professional athletes when they retire, the thing they miss the most is just being on a team and being with the group. I think that's the coolest part.
I have written down a follow-up question last night, and it says, if you can express it, because I know how uncomfortable you are with emotion, how terrible was it working with Amy and Chris?
Yes, please.
It was great. I like those guys.
Andrew, you are weird.
Yes.
Do you think you really get how weird you are?
No. I think it's fine.
He thinks he's perfectly normal.
Yeah. Hang on. I was trying to fix the microphone thing and I broke it worse.
Perfect.
Whoopsies.
I don't think there is.
By the way, you are a human lie detector. As soon as your voice hits a B flat, I know you're lying.
No.
As soon as we get to like Geddy Lee, we know.
I you're singing "They Call Me the Working Man."
Here's the thing. So you said something kind of similar to this the other day, and I really identified with it. Mm-hmm. I don't think I'm weird. I think I'm just willing to say things about myself that everybody has that they don't say. And for some reason, it doesn't occur to me to not say.
So you don't hide it.
It doesn't occur to me to not say whatever the first thing that comes into my head is at any given moment.
I think that's a great topic. Is that weird? Is that weirdness? Or is that just honesty? And if everyone were that honest, we would think everyone was weird.
I do think I end up in situations a lot. And I don't know, like, just kind of historically throughout my life, I've ended up
like
in,
throwing a mouse in a grocery bag into a busy intersection.
Yeah, like the mouse stuff and another. So there, I didn't tell you guys about this, but there was another big spider in my car the other day.
Okay.
And it almost caused me to crash on 70 because it chose to. Remember how I said, Rachel, you got to check behind the mirrors?
Yeah.
I didn't check behind the mirrors. And it the little visor thing that flips down from the
for
top
those
of the
of
car.
You who are new to the show, Andrew has had spiders in his car now for years. Mm-hmm. And mice.
Yeah. Spiders have a, I mean, this is more their car than mine at this point.
I'm going to say, was the spider wearing clothing? Because I think they're evolving.
He was wearing pajamas.
he's like, you're in my house.
They have a rudimentary language.
He was wearing a bathrobe.
Me agree, you not weird, just honest.
And he chose, until I was getting on 70 on my drive to work, to fall out of the visor and like whack very heavy onto my thigh.
He had a sound, huh?
Well, because they're these big orb spiders that are in my yard, and they used to be all around the door to my house, but we sprayed for them, and they stopped making their home around the door to my house. And now they're just in the yard, and that's how they, like, crawl up into my old, rusted, you know, tons of holes, very porous car. And so they're these great big, they're called orb spiders. They're not dangerous. They don't bite. They're not venomous or anything. They're just big. Mm-hmm. And so they like, well, just, so it dropped out of the visor and whacked onto my knee. And I'm like, ah! And I'm like trying not to crash while also trying to figure out if there's like actively a giant spider crawling up my leg or something.
Okay. So let me put that down for not weird.
So not weird. Not weird at all. It's just weird things find me, I think.
Okay.
I don't necessarily.
You're a weird magnet.
Yeah, I don't necessarily find them, but I recognize when it happens, like, is everybody dealing with this or is it just me?
Gotcha.
Is it just the choices that I've made catch up with me eventually?
I think you bring the weird, though. Like choosing to stay in a place where the person who's renting it out is staying there with you.
Yeah,
like, that's weird.
You met that one head on. You at least went
like,
halfway.
That's a no, thank you.
That was so weird because that girl, now I can talk about it a little. I didn't want to talk about it at the time because I was afraid that she'd like find out and murder me or something. But I feel more comfortable talking about it now that it was like a year and a half ago. That was so weird because she was clearly in the house.
Why did you do it?
Is cheap.
No.
Yeah, I was trying to spend as little money.
We all offered to get you a hotel.
Yeah, but also, by that point, I was like, well, now I feel like I should do it because it's like really good show content. Yeah. Like, I had to, I set myself up in a situation. I talked about that situation. It's like, well, now I got to see it through. But she was clearly in the house. Because, like, things would happen. Like, you would hear in the distance, like, a toilet flushing. And then you would be like, well, I gotta use the bathroom, too. So you'd, like, walk down there, but there would be, like, no sign that there was, a person there. But she, again, she was clearly, like, she had to have been, based on the timing, like, right around the corner from me. Mm-hmm. And, like, there would be, she had these, like, four cats. And she was, like, she put in the little notes for the Airbnb. She was, like, cats aren't friendly. Don't mess with them.
And was this you or you and Megan?
Me and Megan both.
Okay.
She's like, the cats aren't friendly. Don't mess with them. Like, you know, I don't want there to be a problem if one of them bites you or something. And so, like, these cats would walk up to me and I'd be like, hey, bud, not supposed to mess with you. Apparently you're mean. And then he would be like, meow. And then he would look into the kitchen as if looking at somebody. So I'm like, all right, this woman is like in the kitchen waiting to see what I do with her cat or something. And so I'm just like, I'm going to go upstairs.
Did you ever see
kitty.
Her?
I never saw her.
Wow.
No, that's what was so weird about it. I never saw her. I would see like
what
little
if there
traces
is
of
no
her.
Lady, and the cats just run out the Airbnb.
That is entirely possible. Like they put like
don't
shoes on
with
sentient cats.
They're not nice.
Well, I would go like downstairs. She had carpeted floors, and I'd go like
carpeted floors
downstairs
what
to
are you,
like
a pilgrim.
The living room. I mean, what I mean is I could see like footprints through the carpet. So I'm like, okay. I know you're here. I can't figure out where you are. Because you're not making any sounds. I know you're somewhere in this house. It's making me feel like I can't make any noise.
She's lurking between the walls.
Yeah, yeah. It was just
like
a,
in the crawl space.
What's
like
that movie that just came out with a crazy lady in the basement?
Oh, Barbarian?
Barbarian.
Yeah.
That's who was your landlord.
I appreciate that she must have been like, oh, I'm not going to like, you know, mess with these people's weekend by making a bunch of noise or whatever. But it was just very strange to like, why are you doing this?
Yeah. Would have been better just to say, hi, I'm Sally.
Yeah. Would have been so much better to just be like, hey, what's up? Thanks for renting the place.
Yeah.
I live in the basement mostly, so I'll be in the basement if you need me or whatever. Instead, it was just like, it felt like the house was haunted more than anything. She was haunted by the actual person who owned it.
Rach.
Yes.
Tell me about a great success.
That's a tough one.
Great success.
A great success.
You watched Borat last night.
You know, I had a great success this morning. It's Wednesday that we're recording this.
So way to go. Way to friggin' go.
I had a interview scheduled, and it was on Zoom. And whenever I started it, I was like, I don't know how long this is going to go for, because I'm like I like to prepare, I like to have my questions written out. And then, you know, if I think of additional
like
questions, yeah, like today. yep. And anyway, I was like, I feel like this is only going to last like 5 minutes. But then the interview went really well. I could feel the fact that I have grown as an interviewer and as an air personality.
Good.
So that felt really nice.
That's
great. That was a great success.
Good. Good, good.
Thanks for asking.
Kev, questions?
Oh, I get to go?
Yeah.
All right. Should we go in the same order or does it matter?
Doesn't matter.
All right. Let's go back to Andrew. And it's not going to be about being weird,
God.
Andrew.
He's like, yeah, I get to go.
No, I've had this question.
I did it right, Dave.
I was going to throw it to the group, but I'm just going to throw it to you on this one.
So he did the same thing and he's just covering it up.
No.
He's just better at covering it up.
Wait till it's done.
Fine.
Wait till it's done. Because we talked the other day about how you don't get excited about things in advance.
Yes.
Movies, games, like entertainment type stuff. Where I'm the opposite, and that's like one of the only places where we're weird like that. Mm. When you think back about the coolest things that that you've fallen in love with, whether it's movies, games, whatever, how often was it that it was better because the hype wasn't there or you didn't buy into it? And then you got that big surprise. And how often was it that you kind of had the anticipation, but you just shoved that down?
I think that makes sense. I definitely shove anticipation down. Like, I make the active choice. It's not necessarily that I am unable to get excited about it. I'm making the conscious choice to not get excited about it.
This was actually kind of the root of the question. Is it all just to avoid disappointment?
Sure. I learned a long time ago that it's a very bad idea to have expectations of any kind. Going into any situation, it's a very bad idea to be like, here are my expectations for how this evening, this party, this meeting, this conversation, this show, this game, this movie, this experience, whatever it is, I have learned that expectations are very bad, because if you have high expectations for something and it meets those expectations, then you're neutral. You have broken even. You have gone, well, I was very excited for this and it turned out very fun. I nailed it. I have been having a good time.
Something just struck me. What Andrew? I'm not saying Andrew's stupid. I'm not.
Hey, it's his question.
You're going to have to continue.
It's his question.
But what you said is very smart. It's very like Sun Tzu or Confucius.
it's like a bit of wisdom from history.
And so I'm imagining if we've just given Confucius way too much credit.
I think that about all of those
and
guys.
It's like 4,000 years ago, he was like, oh, spider fall in my porridge. Just have no expectations. They're like, oh my God, someone write that down. Like, oh, sure, I'm going to write down something Confucius said.
Well, this
He's
is
a friggin' idiot.
I very much feel that way about, like, the, you know, Plato's or Sophocles or whatever of the past.
I rest
like, those
my
were,
case.
Those are just guys without jobs. I could come up with all that shit, too, if I just didn't have a job.
Pluto.
If I had nothing to do all day but sit around in ancient Greece and think about stuff and
yes, the famous Greek thinker Confucius
fantasize about little boys.
Jeez,
wow. That's what they did.
Wow.
Well, they managed to come up with some pretty good stuff in between.
They didn't have jobs. That's what I'm saying.
If you didn't have this job, you would sit around and think about little boys.
Plato.
No,
modern
you're right.
Plato.
You're right. Okay, maybe I should rephrase that a little bit. I mostly just mean they had all this infinite time on their hands.
I had more time to think about boys. The heights I could reach.
But to re-rail the situation. If you have high expectations and you reach them, then you've broken even. You're neutral. You're like, yeah, I thought it would be fun. I had a good time. But if you don't have those expectations, then you don't have to feel the crushing disappointment that you feel that if something that you've been super excited about came out.
No more asking Andrew questions.
And you're very sad about
this
it.
This is only 40 minutes.
All right. Rachel, your turn.
Rachel, same question.
You got your questions done? Are you good?
Oh, I'm ready to go.
All right. And this is not because of the last 5 minutes.
Okay.
I thought about this last night. I know we've joked about it
on the show.
He just
thought of all of these. You know he
no,
did. Just on
I know
the
we've joked about it before, but like, what is it like working with three idiots? like we're not
when
idiots.
When did
like,
you do that?
What's that?
When did she do that?
Well, you know, Wheels, I'm a bit of a dumbass myself, so I feel like I fit right in.
No, you definitely fit in.
I get a lot of credit like just for being the girl. People are like, oh, she's above it all. It's like,
I agree.
I don't think that's true.
Yeah, we know that.
You get way too much credit.
Now, so, and the
every time someone calls, they're like, Rachel is the mother of the, and we're all like, uh-huh.
Mm-hmm, sure.
So the reason I asked is, maybe there isn't anything that would be different, but I've never done a radio show with three women.
Mm-hmm.
I've never been in a spot where it's like you're the representative in air quotes.
Mm-hmm.
And I just curious how that is. Like, I know you have fun. I know you love the job. That's not the question.
Mm-hmm.
Is it just normal because you've done it so long you don't even think about it?
Yeah, I mean, at this point, I definitely don't come into every show thinking like I'm the girl and I have to come from that perspective. I think it happens naturally. There are a couple times where you guys will be talking about something and I do want to get a different perspective in on there because it's like not everyone feels the same way. But
right.
No, this is just very normal to me at this point. It'll be 9 years next month that I've been on this show, which is a huge chunk of time just in my life.
Yeah.
And kind of overwhelming to think of like, oh, 9 years of off the cuff conversations recorded somewhere like
more than 25% of your life.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
That is nuts.
So yeah, no, I mean, I've also never done a radio show with three women. I mean, we've had Sue on the show. We've had Trish.
Right.
And there are times where like I do kind of feel that like lack of a female presence in my day-to-day life because I see Amy, but like she's not even doing the 1 o'clock hour anymore. And then I go home and there's no girls there. It's a Lucy the cat. So
I'm about as close as you have.
Yeah, kind
to
of.
To a girlfriend.
Kind of my best girlfriend these days, Dave.
Oh, yeah, I can fill that role
basis.
Pretty well. Yeah.
There are also a lot of times where we maybe sometimes unfairly like look at you and go like, so please speak for all women
yes,
on this
exactly.
Yeah.
Extremely that's complicated issue. Please represent every woman on earth.
That is part of why I wanted to ask that because
all 5 billion of them.
Because I hope we don't do that too much, but I know that's like, lady. You know, like, this, I don't know if it feels that way, but sometimes I think as we finish a segment, I'm like, that might not have been the right way to do that.
You know what's really difficult is whenever it's like the abortion conversation, being the only woman in the room. Because a lot of times we have that conversation when it's like, you know, like the think tank or something.
Okay, yeah.
And then it's like, I might even agree with a point of view that's being made, but it feels more valuable coming from a woman. But it's also something that's difficult to speak on because it's such a hot button topic. Mm-hmm. And like, you know, you get a lot of hate either way, like no matter what you say. So that was a tough one. Like when Roe was overturned, I just remember being like, well, it's going to be fun being on the air for the next unforeseen amount of time.
Yeah.
Sorry to bring up abortion. That's my bad.
Well, it's hard. It's also hard to find two people who feel exactly the same way about it.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah.
For sure.
But then there's times where, like, I might be giving an opinion on it, and then I have the thought that's like, do I even have the right to be giving an opinion on this? Because it doesn't really affect me in the way that it affects other people. So it's like, you know, that sort of thing.
All right, Dave.
Yeah.
So we can rewind the clock all the way back to when you're a kid.
Mm-hmm.
And you now, as an adult, get to set the dial and change one physical thing.
About me?
About yourself. Like, for me, I would rather be 6'2". I'd rather be taller. Would have helped in sports. Otherwise, it doesn't really matter. But that would have definitely been like, if you gave me that choice.
Yeah.
It's probably the only thing I'd wear. It wouldn't be like, oh, I don't want to be a redhead or I don't want freckles. I don't care about those things.
Yeah.
But the one thing that would have been really helpful would have been like 6'2", 6'3", would have changed a lot of what would work for me. Is there anything you think that, like, a physical difference that would have made whatever goal you would have had easier to reach?
Not having a big giant penis.
So go back to normal.
Yeah.
Yeah. Scaring people.
Can I do emotional or does it have to be physical?
I consider what happens in the brain physical.
Yeah. I would change my brain chemistry. I would change things that happened to me in my childhood that created my brain and the way I behave and the way I think and the way I feel. I would be more like you. Like if I were sitting here with someone who had been to Everest and summited Everest, I can imagine it. I've seen pictures, I've read books, but I can't feel it.
Right.
And this, by the same token, I can understand how you feel and what it's like to be inside your head, but I can't feel it. And I'd give anything to feel it.
That's how I am with feelings.
Yes. To, like, not feel constantly terrified.
To not, is it like always like an on switch?
It's like, you know, like on battleships, they have the radar going.
Yeah.
It's like having those going super fast all the time, 24 hours a day. So, yeah, I would like to be taller, too, mostly because of athletics. Yeah. I would have been 6'2", 6'3". I'm not looking for 6'5", 6'6".
No. 7 foot would be okay, though, to play basketball.
But, yeah, that's what I would change.
Yeah.
That would make the biggest change in my life.
Good answer.
Yeah, thanks. Rach?
Okay, I have my questions.
Okay.
We'll start with wheels. So I know we kind of started the podcast with you talking about, like, you love being on a team and that's what you love about sports. But my question is, what do you think you'll kind of like fill the void with when you do eventually stop coaching?
Wow.
That's a really good question. Cause that was part of why I didn't stop a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
Cause I was like, well, I don't want to do nothing. And I do enjoy that. Right. It can be taxing. But we've kind of arranged it now. So it's a little less so. Some of it because of things that are like just away from work and away from sports that I had to make sure I allotted time for. But if I, you know, honestly, I'd probably do another version of it. I'd probably teach something like teach something at a local college, community college, whatever, whether it's public speaking, podcasting, something like that.
What if you had to learn something?
That's interesting because I've not thought about that. I've always thought about teaching other people the things that I've known and learned and not looking to learn something new. I don't know. I'd have to think hard about like what I would want that to be. Cause I don't know what I would do with it unless it's just for fun.
Yeah. Like if you learned woodworking or something.
I guess if I was going to pick a thing, it would be the guitar. Mm. Like if I was going to take something where I could put 15, 20 hours a week into it,
yeah.
It wouldn't be golf. It wouldn't be anything like that. It would be something that I haven't done, but I think is cool.
Gotcha.
So probably would be guitar.
Okay.
Okay, Andrew, what have you learned from your magic journey? Your magic, the gathering journey, I should
say. Okay. Oh, you don't have real magic?
So I have learned that there is a part of me. I wouldn't say that I don't like it, but I will say I never knew it was there. And that is the part of me that wants to crush and kill and destroy those who oppose me.
Hey, welcome.
Was not aware that that part of me existed. Would actually have told you that it did not exist until a few years ago when I discovered. Like, for example, I played against this guy at a higher level event a handful of months ago, and he showed up. Clearly, he was very nervous. He seemed like he maybe doesn't get out too much.
Real loser.
Not a loser, guy. Just like not a guy who's like super like does super well socially. You
never
know what
had
I mean?
Sex, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Total loser virgin. He was wearing a wedding ring,
Andrew
and I was
Tate
like,
follower.
I was like, fake, take it off. But he showed up and he had like pretty low level like accessories too. Like he just had like a little cardboard box that he was keeping all the stuff in. And I'm just thinking.
And why are you shocked that you had this, given the way you saw this guy?
Well, that's the thing. And so I'm looking at this guy, and I'm like, I'm going to farm this loser. I'm absolutely going to rinse this fool. I'm going to crush
He's
this
guy.
He's
got a cardboard box.
Yeah.
What a chump.
He was kind of wavering in his speech, and his hands were shaking. He's clearly, like, very
this
nervous.
Poor guy.
And I'm like, I'm gonna crush this fool.
Did you?
He whooped my ass so bad. He beat my ass to Alton and back, and he didn't even have like a good deck. He didn't even seem like he was playing it well. I just played really poorly.
Okay, there's no way to ask this and not offend you.
Yeah,
but what about him being a loser made you think he'd be bad at Magic the Gathering?
First of all, I have met him several more times since. I do not think he's a loser. I think he was nervous. And I was like, I'm not nervous at all. I'm gonna crush this guy. I'm gonna totally like he's nervous because he's got low self confidence. I'm gonna stomp him out. And he absolutely rinsed me. It was terrible. I lost so fucking bad.
Andrew got worked.
I got worked. And so I have been dying to rematch this guy and get some revenge for months. And I finally got my opportunity the other day and I took it and I beat him real bad. I whooped him, I got him, and I felt so. I'm like, yes, finally, that's what I was trying to do, and like I said, it's. I know I wouldn't even necessarily say it's a part of me that I don't like.
Embrace it.
But I had no idea that part of me was there. I don't even want you to have a good time. I want you to feel. I want to beat you in a way where you feel bad about yourself. I want to beat you in a way that you. Are like
unleash the beast.
I want to beat you in a way that you have to look inside yourself and ask yourself why you were beaten that bad.
Man, flashback to Hitler 1929 playing 20 questions in art school. I never knew I had this side of me, but I'm just gonna embrace it.
I want to make you feel like you don't know some things about you anymore.
Just want to rinse Poland.
when we're done playing this game. And that, again, I just didn't know that I didn't know I had that in me. And I would have actively thought that I didn't.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, last question is for Dave.
Mm-hmm.
I listened to your Mostly Superheroes podcast last night.
Oh.
Or I started it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And I was surprised because I found out something about you I don't think I knew. I didn't know that whenever it was time to study for the bar that you went down to Mizzou.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, maybe you've brought that up, but I was just like, oh, I didn't know that. How to work this into a question. It just got me thinking, like, maybe those guys just kind of brought it out of you. Like, mm-hmm. You seemed like you were having a good time with those guys, and it was a fun podcast. I guess my question is, like, what gets you excited to go on the air or excited to do a podcast with someone? Like, what makes it super appealing? And, like, I can't wait to go out and do this today.
First of all, that's a good story. so when you take the bar exam, you study, and you usually take a prep course that's about, back then, $3,000, now probably five. And I went to Mizzou for 3 weeks, and I lived at the Stevens College for Women. Yeah, pardon me. And I joined a gym, and I ended up playing golf and going to the gym, and I never went to my study class.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
Didn't go to my study class.
Mm.
Paid $3,000 I didn't have, took out a student loan, last day of law school, that and the wig, and didn't go. Just didn't go. And there's a story about the night before the bar exam, which I literally will never tell.
Okay.
But it is probably my best story.
When you were taking out a student loan on the last day of school, were they like, now?
Oh, yeah. The ladies knew me really well.
It's over, you know.
And they're just like, aren't you graduating? Aren't you an L3? I'm like, well, you know.
I hope so.
I'm buying a wig. But no, I, to answer your question directly.
Or like, what makes you feel comfortable with, because I don't think you had met either of them.
No. I feel comfortable with 90% of people.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it takes something off-putting about them to make me sort of clam up. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So I feel pretty comfortable talking to anyone, and especially guys like that, you know, like young up-and-coming guys. And I sort of like, I saw something, I forget what it was, a couple years ago, some article in Talkers Magazine about the show, and it said PM Drive veteran Dave Glover, and I was like, no. You know what I mean? Like, it really doesn't. And you can't know this at 33. But at 53, and certainly 63, you'll get, and Wheels, you'll get this, how it's like you take an apple corer and you just take out the core of your life from 25 to 55. And when you get past 55 and you look back at the core of your life and it's done, and you're like, what the hell? How did that happen? Like, it was so fast, and it's such a cliche, but it's true. And it's so fascinating to me in the whole brain chemistry thing that Rachel, one of the smartest people I've ever known, doesn't get it because she can't.
Not yet.
The same way that I don't really get what turning 80 is going to be like.
Right.
I can think about it.
It goes back to what we were talking about earlier. You can conceptualize it.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you can't feel it.
Yeah. Yeah. So my point is, I kind of like the mentor status. I like being an OG. I like being someone with 25 years on me. Professionally, it's not great being 60 physically, but career-wise, I embrace it. I like it.
Do you think you would be like excited by a new venture where you were the brand new guy?
Wow,
like, if you
great
got
question.
Some new opportunity?
Yeah, but I would be, it would be weird to go from being accomplished to being a rookie.
Yeah.
I would like to say I would welcome it because that's the kind of thing that makes you cool. But, well, even like playing old man baseball again. I've played baseball my whole life and I played old man baseball. I kind of know what it's going to be like. But going into a brand new team where no one has ever seen me throw a baseball is intimidating to me, right? I want to be the best one, and chances are I won't.
Yeah, you probably would bet not.
Yeah.
Like, that's what you should bet.
Yeah, right.
Maybe. It may
be pleasantly surprised.
Right. No well, expectations.
There we go, Andrew's philosophy.
No expectations.
Got Sun Tzu over here. He laid it out for you.
Yeah.
Set your expectations low.
Andrew, got a couple questions?
I do. Definitely not questions I just came up with on the spot.
No.
I'm thinking really hard about these. Rachel, what's your favorite thing about Studio C? This is the room we're in right
now. I love that it never works.
Well,
I love that you can't see anyone whenever you're sitting in the chair you're sitting
in. Studio C.
I love that we're sitting in a studio and I have to really work. If I had things set up the way that they are normally set up, I would not be able to see any of the other three people I'm on the air with who are sitting in a normal microphone position.
It's kind of
who
a
are
pattern.
Not like who are not like contorted in a way so as to not be seen. They are just sitting where the microphones were installed. Anyway, Rachel, what is a poor person habit that you would never give up no matter how rich you got?
That's a good question.
Like, looking back on the struggle and thinking about the stuff that you, extreme couponing style deals that you still have clung to. and will always cling to no matter how successful you get?
Ooh, that is a good question. I feel like...
And don't get me wrong. I think you've hit the ceiling. I don't think you'll ever get any more successful than this. Thank but you. If you were to get more successful...
His jokes are so funny. Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
They're not hurtful.
No.
I'm kidding.
They're not based on your insecurities.
I'm kidding.
I really don't think I would ever go crazy with, like, buying clothes. I think I would buy more expensive clothes than I buy now, but I could never be like a designer or like buying Louis Vuitton or something. I think there was a point in life where I thought like, once I'm a millionaire, I'm going to do this. And now I'm like, man, even if I had $1 billion, I don't think I could justify $30,000 on a Birkin bag or something. It's just, it feels very just unnecessary. So, I mean, you might see me in like Nordstrom a little more than the Macy's, but I think I would not like go nuts with like labels and stuff like that, no matter how rich I got.
Yeah. What if you're not the last person on earth because then you have no one to show your clothes to?
Yeah.
But you're with a small band of humans that survived the apocalypse, but everything is intact. You can go anywhere and get any clothes you want. Mm-hmm. Where are you going?
Oh, well, I would probably go. Okay. So there's like no. In that case, I might go to The Row. That's Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen's brand. That is pretty expensive.
Really?
Yeah. That's like, to me, like the pinnacle of design. I am a millennial. I love Mary-Kate and Ashley, but they do a really, really great job. It's just, I could never justify spending the money on right. that. But if it's free, all right, I'll go wear that for sure.
How do you think you'd dress? Would you dress up for the apocalypse?
Maybe.
Make that your thing.
Yeah. I'll be like, I'm the bougie one.
She must have been rich in real life because she just will not give it up.
Speaking of, put the people on a little bit. Where's your go-to place now? You're very well-dressed.
Thanks. Probably I do a lot of shopping at Abercrombie, actually, which is fun because when I was in high school, I could not afford Abercrombie. I feel like it's a little like less expensive relatively now than it was in 2007 or whenever, but I'm wearing an Abercrombie shirt right now. I shop at Uniqlo. Those are like the main two places I look these days because I just wear very basic clothes. I don't do anything like real flashy or anything. But you can get some good basics there, and it's affordable.
This is a really good question for everybody, actually. What was the, that I just thought of when she was saying that, like, what was the thing that, when you did it, like, Rachel, like, going into Abercrombie and being like, oh my gosh, I can buy the store. Like, what's the thing that you were like, huh, wow, I feel like I've not necessarily made it, but it's like, you know, I never thought I would be able to do this. I never, you know, when I was a kid and I wanted this, you know, type of clothes or whatever, and I never thought I'd be able to afford it, and here I am.
Mine's going to sound dickish, because it's a big one, but I mean, I've done this for 25 years. I'm 60 years old.
My first island.
But no, when I bought Innsbruck. Because I have a nice house, and we looked at this nice house on the lake at Innsbruck.
A lake house,
and
yeah.
I literally said to my loan guy, I know I can't afford this, and he said, you can't. And wow. I was just like, holy shit.
Wow.
Yeah. That was a big one.
That's a great answer.
I like to go into the grocery store and load up the cart and just not even worry about running that debit card.
Spending money, and this that sounds silly when you put it like this, but spending money and not thinking about it is a really, really great feeling.
Dude, I can't tell
you. Not everybody gets to have that feeling.
I'm not talking in my 20s. I'm talking in my 40s. I still... because I was such a slow starter in life, I was still going to the ATM just like, come on, baby.
Yeah.
Daddy needs some corn.
Like, I'm fortunate enough to be in a position where, like, I know what my bills are, but I don't really know when, like, what exact day of the month that they come out, because I know that I'm going to have...
Yeah, you're not living and dying.
Yeah, I know that I'm going to have enough in the account to cover it, and that's a really, really, really great feeling.
Mm-hmm.
Kevin, what about you?
I don't know, man. You guys are gonna hate me. I don't have one. Like, I've not.
That's
had,
fine. I mean, it's
like
it's
it is the there is that transition that of when you're going to the grocery store. Do I have to stay under a certain number? Like,
And, yeah, you spend $400 at Costco.
Maybe that's it. Maybe it's the $400 day at Costco. It's like, because you used to have like, all right, let's get the coupons and let's go where the sales are. And now I'm like, I just need to go to the store. I'm just going to go to the store.
Yeah.
That's about it. Like, I don't know what it was. Like,
I think going from really worried that my card would be declined at Schnucks to not worrying about it was a bigger jump to me than buying Innsbruck.
Yeah, yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Not being poor was an enormous jump for me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Finally getting to a place where you weren't worried about your monthly bills.
Yes.
Okay, Dave, bringing everybody down. Are you scared of World War III? Is that something that you even think about? Because it's been on a lot of people's minds lately for one reason or another.
I feel like World War III is going to be like a fight in a Major League Baseball game. It lasts about 5 seconds, and then it's over with. Mm-hmm. And then everyone stands around puffing their chest. I feel like, if I'm right, my version of World War III would be someone drops a nuke, someone else drops a nuke, but it's not like mass, like the movies. And then everyone's like, holy friggin' shit, someone just dropped a nuke. And then what happens after that, I don't know. But I picture it being something that happens over the space of like a week, and then everyone goes, whoa, wow. Mm. So I don't see it being like, and then Russia is now, the lines have, you know, solidified in the Rocky Mountains. Like,
I know that World War III will be more like the Cold War. Like, you could argue that maybe it's even begun. I think it's going to be an information war and a financial war more than it's going to be like armies lining up across from each other. You know, like World War I was like the first modern war, and it was just different than everything else. Mm-hmm. And people before that would never have imagined a war being that way.
Yeah.
Right? And then World War II kind of upped that because you had people crossing oceans and parachuting out of planes and all that. Like, it was a different war. I think whatever the World War III would be, whether this is the kicking off of it or not, I don't think it's going to look like nukes dropping or soldiers in the field just going at each other. I think it's going to be a lot more about messing with your electrical grid, messing with your financial system.
That I do
disinformation
worry about.
And that's a lot more worrisome to me.
Yeah.
Because as a citizen of the United States, the older kinds of war, we're good.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think the nuke thing happens because I think everybody realizes it's a zero sum game.
Don't you guys think like we just last weekend had the Donald Trump
military
parade? And it was a big womp womp. It was like a whole lot of creaky old tanks and things like that. But maybe I've just seen too many movies. And it made such an impression on me when the stealth fighter and the stealth bomber came out during the Iraqi war. And they're like, we've had this for 20 years.
Yeah.
And I just happen to think that whatever we would really rely on to fight World War III
is
so many levels down. Yeah, we're not parading it down Constitution Avenue.
No, that's the, yes, exactly right. Which also diminishes the point of even doing it.
Right.
Hey, let's show everybody our old stuff.
Yeah, here's what we got.
Last question for Kevin, and make it snappy.
All right.
Do you think that with like HD video and you can watch crystal clear, video of sporting events from anywhere in the world and ultra HD highlights within seconds of them happening and all this stuff. Do you think we are living in a golden age for sports, or do you think that there have been far better eras than this and we just happen to have like good tech?
I guess it depends
on how
you view
it.
It
also seems like
we
have a lot of great athletes right now, maybe even more than we did in the past.
Yeah, to me, it's better now because you can see everything from your own couch. That, look, even 30 years ago, you might have had, 30 Cardinal games on TV a year?
Yeah.
So even that, and that's not that long ago, even 20 years ago, it wasn't going to be every game all the time.
Yeah.
So to me, the experience of not having to go buy a ticket, go to a place, whether it's college football or the Super Bowl or whatever, I think for a fan's choices, it's never been better. But it's also not cheap. Like, there was a story, I think I have it on the rundown. We can go into depth on it more because we'll have more time. But it costs like $5,000 a year just to be a sports fan for TV subscriptions, going to games, whatever like that. Mm-hmm. And that part's going up, which is going to make it interesting to me where I think the big sea change, and we've seen this in college football already, more people are staying home than going to games. And it's not really hit the pro sports too much yet, but if those ticket prices keep going up and the TV technology keeps getting better and you got your own sound system and no lines for the bathroom, no lines for concessions, the TV home experience is making it so that the teams need to try a lot harder at their stadiums.
Okay. Okay, hopefully you guys enjoyed this. If you did, you can email our boss, Steve Moore, because guess what? We can do this every friggin' day. I mean, we're not going to do the show, but we can do. We can give you 43 solid minutes a day.
You can do this instead of the show if you
guys
want.
That's right. All right, see you guys.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Let's be honest, you've been portrayed as a monster.
Yes.
Evil, maniacal.
What's it like to interview a killer? 48 Hours is taking you inside what we've learned about the criminal mind. This is Killer Conversation. You can follow and listen to Killer Conversation on Tuesdays in the 48 Hours podcast feed on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.